Thank you, young ladies, and thank you, Gail. When we get to heaven, we're going to all be every tribe, right? Every nation, and we'll all be praising the Lord. Amen. Today I want to talk about moving toward maturity, and of course that's something that we all desire for our children, and the Lord desires it for His church. So our reading today is based on chapter 4 of Ephesians, and I believe that reading, of course, it'll be on the screen, and it's also on the back of the sermon notes. So let's stand together in honor of God's Word and read Ephesians 4, 1-7 and 11-16. I'll read what's in the light print, and I'll ask you to read what's in the dark print, and I'll join you on that final verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that we can stand here today as the blood-bought, blood-washed, blood-redeemed people of Yours, having been to the waters of baptism, and having openly professed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the transforming Lord. And then You have baptized us into one body so that all together, though we are different in many ways, but that all together we could be an expression of Your body, an expression of You, that we would be Your body and be the expression of You. And that is Your desire for the church. It is Your desire for our local church here, and it is Your desire for each and every congregation, large or small, all over the world. And so, Lord, we pray today that by Your Holy Spirit, You would unite us, but by Your Word, You would, Lord, mature us, and that we, both individually and collectively, Lord, as we serve You, as we yield ourselves fully to You, as we obey Your every leading and Your every command, as we love one another deeply and affectionately, working together, we may truly be Your expression and attain and experience the fullness of Christ ourselves, which is what You have designed for each and every one of Your own. Speak to us now today through Your Word, we pray, and may we move in that very direction. For we ask it in Christ's name and for His sake. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we come into this world as infants, and the Bible talks about spiritual infants, and it talks about an infant needs milk, right? The infant needs milk and a lot of care. And then we come to the adolescence, and then later on we come to the adulthood. And God has just given us this so that we can understand individually, and then we can understand what His plan is also for His church. And I was thinking about youth and childhood, and I believe that youth and childhood are characterized primarily by three major things. One is learning. From the time that we come out of the womb, and maybe before for all I know, we're beginning to learn, aren't we? And we're exposed to all the sights and the sounds. And you know the stages of development that children go through. And pretty soon they begin to understand words, and they begin to understand who the people are in their lives and all of that. And yet children, for all their exuberance, are continually learning, but they also need a lot of discipline and a lot of training. Because left to themselves, they will give everybody a fit. Left to themselves, they will do things that are destructive both to themselves and to those around them. But it is a great time of learning. It is also a time of growth. And I guess Elaine and Robert and the children were going to Busch Gardens this week, so they were debating whether Austin is the required 42 inches. To ride certain things up there. So we take a great interest in the growth of our children, don't we? And it turns out he was. He was like 43 inches. So it's like, you know, he can ride certain things. But growth, learning and growth, and what I just call formation. And the formation, we're being formed. We're being formed by our environment and by who the Lord made us to begin with and the things we're exposed to and the values we adopt and the decisions we make. We are being formed into that person. Now, we continue to change, I know, as adults, but not nearly as much as when we're children. I mean, in children, you can have a little niece or nephew or somebody and not see them for just a couple years, and then it's like, wow, you know, what a tremendous change. And that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Now, adulthood, on the other hand, again, there are changes, aren't there? Wrinkles, pot bellies, and who knows what else, you know, loss of hair, hair of changed color, and you didn't even buy any of those expensive hair products that you see advertised on TV, and yet you experience hair color change, all kinds of things. But nonetheless, in our prime, especially as adults, adulthood is characterized, I think, by three things. Service, because, you know, the subject of going to college came up in our class this morning. Even through college, that's still part of the formation period. But then after that, you want to go out and then you say, you know, what my calling in life is going to be. And then we go from learning and acquiring knowledge to actually serving in some capacity. We may be a cashier somewhere. We may become a doctor or a lawyer or a youth minister or drive a truck or whatever. But adulthood is pretty much, if everything's normal, is, you know, the formation and the growth and the learning was so that we then could at some point begin to express our lives in terms of service. And then secondly, productivity. And the two go together. Productivity. We become productive people. During our younger years, we take a lot. And I don't think as kids we realize it. You know, mom and dad, can I have the car keys? Mom and dad, can I get this new whatever? Mom and dad, can we stop at the fast food place and get this? And, you know, it's mostly taking when we're younger. But then as we become adults, we become productive. We can actually produce something worthwhile and earn a living. And then along with that comes a word that we don't like a lot anymore. Responsibility. And believe me, that is a lot of what, and that's one of the big problems now. They say people aren't growing up anymore. You know, they're 25 and 30 years old, and they're still stuck in the teen mentality. I heard a lady saying there really aren't hardly any grown-ups in the United States anymore. She said, you know, in the old days, life was just hard. Life was just that way. And at 18, 19, or 20, you married, and you went to work, and you didn't have time to go out and get in a bunch of trouble and a whole bunch of stuff. But now, youth is perpetuated well into the 20s and sometimes beyond that. And the flip side of that is that the person has not learned any responsibility. And that is something that is sorely needed today. So adulthood should be marked by service, productivity, and responsibility. So if we take that individually and then we transfer it to the church, it's the same way. You transfer it to the church. The Lord, it talks about a mature church here in Ephesians 4, and it's talking about the whole unit corporately moving together toward maturity in Christ. And that's what's supposed to be happening. We're learning, growing, forming, but then there comes a time when, you know, we need to be moving into service and productivity and responsibility and these things, and that God can really use us the way that He wants to. God didn't just put the church here so that we could dress up nice, come on Sunday morning, hear a nice message and some singing and worship, and go home feeling good. He put the church here basically to change the world. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I mean, that's what it's all about. And we come here to fellowship and for encouragement and prayer and learn more about the Lord. But why is that? So that we can then go out and do some service. So that we can go out then and be productive. So that we can go out then and let our light so shine before men that they will see our good works and will glorify our Father which is in heaven. Can I hear an amen? And we need to be, you know, moving toward maturity. And sometimes groups, just as individuals, get stuck, and all of a sudden we think it's about us and about what pleases us and about our needs and what we want, and we begin to forget that the reason we're here is to serve and to produce and to reach out. So Paul in here, we're not certainly not going to do an in-depth thing here this morning, but I think I found in this passage here some things, and I have for future or more in-depth study the verses that apply underneath. Let's go through a few of the characteristics of a mature church. If we saw a mature church, how would we recognize it? Well, there are a few ways that we can know. One is a mature church, and this is in your notes, is functional. It's functional. It works. Now, we have a body, a physical body, and that is alluded to here, as Paul does in several other places in his writings. It's his favorite way to describe the church. We are the body of Christ and members in particular. But a body has many, many different members, and each of those members does a different thing and is located in a different place. And yet they all work together, and it's because they all work together that we have a whole. So the body is functional. It's functional when each part is where it's supposed to be doing what it is supposed to be doing. And so a mature church, like a healthy body, is functional. And secondly, in verses 7 to 13, it is diversely gifted. It is one body, but it is diversely gifted. Now, it's natural that each of us would have interest in the area where the Lord has gifted us. But we can't put that in competition with something else God is doing in the church, but rather we're to be a team. We're to be working together. How many saw the Easter musical that our choir did, such a beautiful musical, a couple of weeks ago? And there were many, many people, not just two or three in that play, right? And the reason that it was interesting to watch is everybody knew, we don't know what goes on behind backstage, but everybody knew what their role was and where they were supposed to be. And if nobody knew where they were supposed to be or what they were supposed to be doing, all we'd have come to see is a bunch of people milling around that didn't have any idea what they were doing, and we'd have gone home and we'd have said, I'm going to ask for my money back. But diversely gifted, and that's by design. Your kidney doesn't do what your liver does, and you can be glad of that. And your kidney and your liver don't do what your heart does, but are all of them needed? Oh, yeah. And so to be functional, you have to have, it has to be diversely gifted. And so God has put in the church prophets and apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, because each of them have a function to fulfill in a growing and maturing church of the Lord. Number three, a mature church, as we will see in the opening verses, especially of this chapter, is united in purpose. United in purpose. Now, how many have ever read a newspaper of some church where everybody's so divided on two sides of an issue that it looks like the church is getting ready to split, and you read about it? You ever read about it in the newspaper? I read about it. See, they're not united in purpose. When we're not united in purpose, when we don't realize, hey, this isn't my church, this is the Lord's church. You know, we're here to do what the Lord wants us to do. And so unity in purpose, the purpose-driven church, the purpose-driven life, many of you have heard of those books, and they were needed, because a church can't be real functional and it can't really do the job God has called it to do unless it's diversely gifted on the one hand, but united in purpose on the other. And so if you miss either one of those halves, you're not going to have a real functional church. So on the one hand, unity of purpose, but diversely gifted. Sometimes that's hard to get in one package, like I say, because we kind of bump up against one another. But later on, it tells us why that can still work. And it's something, it's a four-letter word spelled L-O-V-E. And that is why, in spite of the fact that sometimes we may have our own little interests or whatever, but if we really love the Lord and we understand His purpose, we're willing to give and take some so that we can work together. Amen? And God's work can go on. Number four, and this is kind of like a summary of the first three, interactive. Not only is each member in a body in a different location, and not only does it do a different function, but in some way they're all tied together and they're communicating with each other constantly. If you knew all the stuff that happened inside your body, you wouldn't even believe it. But the members are constantly communicating to each other and letting know what is needed over here, you know. And I don't know how that all works, but something says to the pancreas, hey, I need a little more insulin down here. And when that doesn't happen, it's called diabetes. And we could just go on and on and on. But the members in the body are constantly interacting, constantly interacting. And that is the sign of a growing and a church. And then five, working in unison, working in unison. So again, we have those same two concepts, interacting with each other, but at the same time, working in unison. Now think of a concert. Think of those, you know, they play them on Channel 48 a lot, but you know, the concert orchestras, and you've got you've got a string section, and you've got a horn section, and a whole bunch of stuff. And again, very, very different instruments making very, very different. Now, let me ask you something. I don't know a lot about music, but those people that are playing there, some the violin and some the horns and all that, are they playing the same notes at the same time? Are they all playing the same notes? No, they're not playing. And yet, it all comes together, does it not, to form one piece of music that is inspiring or uplifting or whatever. And unison, by the way, one sound, that's from the Latin for one sound, but we may be, in a way, you might say, playing different notes, but if we're working, maybe harmony would have been the better word here, but we each have a role to play, and it's different from the other, but the end product, it all comes together. And let me tell you, it's music to the Lord's ears. Working in unison, number six, functioning in love. And that is the only that's the only way. How do you get the unity that we've been talking about? You get it through love. How do you get functionality? You get it through love. You get it through love, through actually caring for one another. And so it says that the body builds itself up in love. Love is the rule in the church. Not love of tongue or of mouth, but love of deed. You know, the kind of love that says, I know everything about you. Maybe not everything, but you know how we talk. I know just about everything about you. I know a lot about you. I know a lot of your idiosyncrasies. I know a lot of your even faults and weaknesses, and I still love you just as much. And I tell you, when you've got that, then whether it's a family, whether it's a church, but you're going to have something that it can work together and can grow. Oh, and don't forget number seven. Oh, this is so important. A mature church is Christ-centered all the way. We can have a whole lot of things going on, but we had better make sure that what we are doing is Christ-centered. Is Christ actually the center of it all? He is the head of the church. He is the one giving the instructions, basically, to all the different parts of the body so that they do what they do. And He is the reason for it all. And if we're not truly Christ-centered, then what's going to happen? Well, either we're going to be centered in our own interests, and pretty soon the harmony is going to go away, and we're going to start kind of being at odds with each other, or else we're going to be very, very successful in some very, very meaningless pursuits. And that's not what God called the church to be or to do. We are Christ-centered. We are here because what He has done in our lives so that we in turn may reveal Christ to the world. So Christ must be the center of every single plan, every single purpose, every single thing that we are about. Christ must be the center. I remember reading many years ago in Decision Magazine, Billy Graham, you know, that magazine's been around many, 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 many years, and he was looking through an edition of Decision Magazine many years ago, maybe as much as 30 or 40 years ago, and he picked up the phone right on the spot and called the editor of Decision Magazine and said, "There's too much Billy Graham and not enough Jesus." What do you think? And in a day when a lot of, well, whatever, evangelists are trying to build their name or whatever, I thought that was pretty good. But Christ-centered all the way. Number eight, focused and effective. A mature church is focused and effective. They know who they are. They know what they're about. And that ties back to the purpose-driven thing. You know, churches are in different areas and serve different needs. We serve the same Lord, but we serve different congregations, age sometimes, culturally, or economic. The economic situation is different or whatever. And so not and balancing these things, but finding out what God wants us to do, because no one church can do it all. Even the big churches, you've got to decide, what is our main mission? What is the main thing? What is the main thing the Lord has called us to do, and then do that well? How many would agree that it's much, much better to do one or two things really, really well than about 25 that you don't do well at all? Agreed? And the church is no different. And a mature church is focused and effective because they know their identity, they know who they are, they know what God has called them to do, and they're not trying to copy every single thing from down the street. Number nine, a mature church is growing and becoming stronger every day. And that's what you want to see in your kids, isn't it? You don't want them to see sick or lethargic or, you know, whatever, skinny as a rail. You know, I mean, some are pretty skinny naturally, but you don't want it to be an unhealthy skinny, whatever. We want our children to be growing stronger daily, and that's what the Lord wants for His church. And a church that is functional and diverse and united in purpose and interactive and operating in love, believe me, that church will be, and Christ-centered, it will be growing. And it will be getting stronger every day. I made a few notes, and I'm going to end with these. These are just random notes, like I make for myself. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's a foundational principle of the church. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So us, we are the church. We are the individual members. It was He who gave some to be apostles and some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, this was my note on that one. The body of Christ is built up. See if you can follow this here. The body of Christ is built up through the works of service of God's people. That's what I read in this passage. The body of Christ, which is the church, the body of Christ is built up through the works of service of God's people, which they are prepared for through the different giftedness and ministries God placed within the church. So God put people within the church in order to prepare God's people for works of service, which once they do them, then the body of Christ is built up. So that's more or less the process. And God, it says, has put them in the church. He's placed them in the church. And there may be certain ministries that we just think are all that, and there may be other ministries that we're like, I don't even know why we do that. But the Lord has a reason for everything. One person doesn't care much about prophecy at all, and somebody else can't hardly talk about anything but prophecy. But it has its place. It's not the whole package, but it has its place. Somebody else, they're all excited about evangelism, but they're not really excited about a whole lot else. Well, as long as they're not trying to eliminate the other things that need to happen in the church, that's good, because God placed them there to do what? To evangelize. And as long as they do what they're doing for the church and for the good of the church, it'll add and not subtract. Until what? Until we, again, the church, until we all reach unity in the faith. So the goal of all this that we just read is that we would reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Here's my note on that one. So that we can ultimately be mature and unified, reaching our full potential individually and corporately in Christ. In other words, that we may attain to all that God has purposed for us individually and corporately. And then I put, this can only happen within the church setting. How many have heard somebody say, well, I don't have to be in a church to worship God? How many have heard that one? But you can't be a functioning part of the body of Christ outside of the body of Christ. Amen? Making your contribution in the place where God has placed you. Then we, that's the church again. Wow, it's all over the place. Will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and the cunning craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Here's my note on that one. It's a short one. A mature church is a settled church. Not dead, settled. Settled meaning that we're not chasing, an adult. Again, the identity thing. I know who I am. And I'm not, all breathless over the latest little old fad that's out there somewhere. Instead, speaking the truth in love, there's that word again. And that's the church. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. And I put this, a mature church leads people into a deeper knowledge of Christ through a proper balance of speaking God's truth into people's lives tempered by love. Now, you got to have both. To develop correctly, a child must experience a mixture of discipline and training combined with love. Without love, the training and discipline become a source of resentment and amount to little more than manipulation. Without discipline and training, the child never learns to focus or accept responsibility. The church is no different. We need both to grow up to be competent, responsible, and well-balanced adults. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That was the last verse we read in our reading. Note 1. As each part of the body functions and works according to its design and purpose, in concert with and in support of all the other parts, and, number 2, the body is properly held together by all its supporting ligaments, and, number 3, the entire body is in proper relationship with the head, who is Christ, then the result is that the body continually grows, develops, strengthens itself, and matures in love. I'm finishing. Some identifying marks of a mature church. This is just your pastor making a list off the top of his head. I think some identifying marks of a mature church: unified vision and purpose, Christ-centered, in love with Jesus, people being used in keeping with their giftedness. And I don't mean used as the world says used. I just mean put to work, allowed to function as they should in the place where God would have them to be. Lots of interaction and cooperation, lots of caring, sharing, and loving, servants' hearts, always ready to serve, and serving with a smile. Amen? dependability and commitment, willing to go the distance and make sacrifices. See, that goes back to that responsibility thing again, and it's so lacking in so many places today. Oh, and I love this. Minimal, they exist, but minimal conflict and rivalries. Minimal pettiness and or majoring in the minors. And joyful in all seasons. Is that the church you would like to attend? That can be the church you attend. And I think in many ways that is the church that you attend. Amen? We can always do better. But in many ways, I think it is. Many visit our church and they say, you know, I was really warmly welcomed and so forth, and the people at your church really care. And that is exactly how we want people to feel. Not as an image thing, not as a public relations thing, but because that really is who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's just be all that more determined and say, Lord, make me a serving, productive, responsible child of yours that loves Jesus, that knows my place, that is willing to serve without recognition for your cause and your purpose, that is willing to serve with others who see things a little different or do things a little different than I do, and Lord, that you may be glorified. And I just thought it was interesting that these verses that we read this morning from Ephesians 4 about the unity and the growth and the maturity of the body of Christ, do you know what verses lead into chapter 4? That's what I'm going to end with. And when the Bible was written, it didn't have chapter divisions. This is what comes just before this chapter. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you today that you created something called the church, and you did it at the cost of the life of your Son, just as we have observed in the last week or two about the sufferings and the death and burial and then the resurrection of our Lord. And the result of all that travail was something called the church. And there are many today who badmouth the church. And there are many that say, I've given up on what they call organized or corporate religion. And I agree that a lot of what is corporate, that is man-made, is nothing but trash and needs to be thrown out. But not your church, not your body of your people, washed by the blood. Again, baptized in the waters, brought into a body of loving and functioning Christians. And Lord, we're proud to be a part of such a church. And we're glad that there are others around here as well, because if your work gets done, if it gets done in South Norfolk or anywhere else, it's going to get done through the church, because it's not going to get done by individual believers doing their own little thing in their own little way in private and that don't really care about other people of God. And Lord, your desire is to bring us together. No, we're not perfect, but we're moving toward it. And we're learning, and we're growing, Lord. And we are forming. And you are making us and going to make us more and more productive, Lord. And you are going to make us fruitful. And you're going to cause us to work together and to labor together in love unto your glory and unto the Lord Jesus Christ in order to reach this world around us. And that is what you want. I think of that Ephesian church, that city, so wicked, so filled with the occult, and so much stuff, and yet the work that you did in that place. And through whom? Through your people, starting with 12 men that Paul laid his hands on. And what a work you did in that place. Lord, we pray you would do a work like that through us and all across this land. And may we be a part of it. And may we know where you have put us and serve joyfully unto you until indeed we are all unified in the same love for the Lord Jesus Christ and ultimately all stand together in your presence to praise your glorious name. Thank you, Father. Unify us more and more and bring us into the maturity you would desire us to have. That's my prayer for our church today and for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, what better day than today? It's not complicated. You just come down and confess your sins, put your faith and trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, and leave here a changed person. So would you do that during this closing hymn if you don't know him or haven't received him? And if you have any other thing on your heart today, feel free to come and share it during our closing song. Kevin?